Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, outside of the 12th Hour. And we're going to continue our services on this Sabbath day. This is June the 14th, 2025, or it's the 25th, 7th, 2029. And we're on track 3, Judgment of the Harlots of E.T. Hollick. We're on page 62, and this is part 4 of Judgment and the Harvest. And the question now is, which is the true Laodicean church? And review our last paragraph, on our last study, says, as the period since the passing of the apostles has been of the wheat and tares growing time, and as moreover, the Laodicean Seventh-day Adventist Church is the last of the seven sections of the apostolic congregations of the 12 apostles, and which are commingled, the wheat and the tares. We must learn the answer to the question. And that is what we've always asked the question, which is the true Laodicean church? For the Laodicea may be infallibly recognized amidst the many isms of the Christendom by the work she is doing, by the declaring of the judgment. Indeed, this mark of the identification is pointed out by the very name Laodicea, compounded of the two Greek words Leo and Dacia, one meaning people, also speak, the other meaning judgment, the two and the one. Meaning the people declaring judgment. For the church, therefore, which declares, fear the Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, Revelation 14:7, is evidently the one called Laodicea. And it is almost as well known outside of the Seventh-day Adventist circles as within that of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Is with the endeavoring for the carrying of the judgment message of the Revelation 14:7, and is therefore unchallenged in her claim to the title of Laodicea. Plainly then, the names of the seven churches representing the successive sections of the apostolic church, of which the Laodicea is the last, are not just named. Take as another example the name of the sixth Philadelphia. It's meaning of brotherly love, being a misnomer of the spiritual condition of any other church organization in the entire apostolic era. Implicitly fits, however, the state of the charity common and singular unto the sixth, the Millerite Church. Okay, it says, being the one shining example of his church, never guilty of thwarting or trying to thwart in any way her members and their exercise of their inalienable right to investigate and to accept for themselves whatever their conscience bid them investigate and accept. She alone constituted nothing, contributed nothing to the grievous condition calling forth of the scripture through the word of the Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let you, Yahshua be glorified, that he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. That's in Isaiah 66:5. Okay, we're going to continue on with the study on page 63 with our subtitle, Separation of the Tares from Among the Wheat. It says, for the end of the period in which the wheat and the tares are commingled is the time of the closing work for the Laodicean church, the Seventh-day Adventist. For the, as the last of the seven churches, and that took place at the, starting at the Passover of 2002, that was the beginning of the closing work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The Lord Passover at Gilead Center, 2002, with Willis Johnson as the angel of the candlestick that is responsible for bringing the Seventh-day Adventist Church to the end of her movement from 1844 up until 2002. The last of the seven churches. Okay. This work is identified by the church as a founder as a marking in Ezekiel 9, the sitting of the spiritual Israel, the 144,000. See testimonies of the minister, page 445, and testimonies, volume 3, page 266, volume 5, page 211. And this identification is conclusively substantiated by the fact as herein as sin, that the Ezekiel prophecy is the separation of the two classes, those who sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of the church and those who do not, and as the former are delivered, while the latter fall under the slaughter of weapons of the Ezekiel 9, that of those angels, there is clearly seen a complete separation of the tares from among the wheat and the time of the harvest, though the true meaning and time of the harvest is greatly confused by some and confusing too many. A close study of the Word will clear it in just as simple manner as it cleared both the time of the seed of sowing and the period of the wheat and the tares. With the eye piercing the midst of the ages, thou sure foresaw the negligence of his watchman, and the evil which was to spring up in this church. Nevertheless, after being asked by his servant, didst not thou, sow a good seed in thy field? From whence then hast it tares? Will thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, nay, that's why you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them, that both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:27-30. A harvest then, the result of the effort, of the toil, of the gathering of a crop by the reaping, the result of the labor, and filling up the barn with the grain. So, rather than the year's toil being finished at the beginning of the harvest labor of the year just then begins. And though the harvest time is the shortest of all the periods of the harvest year, the work of the reaping is not done in a moment. It takes time. The yield is not garnered by the turning the field right into the barn. No, that would be a conglomerate mass instead of a harvest. First the sickle is put to the ground, and next the grain is bound into the sheaves, then threshed, after which it is put into the barn, and thereafter the chaff and the tares are destroyed. This work, being completed during the autumn, it shows that the harvest is a season of the time after the summer is past, and that it is followed by the fruitless winter period. So it must be with the spiritual harvest, that otherwise could not be illustrated by the literal. Do not regard lightly the wisdom of the Yahweh. His illustrations are perfect. Consider now with what exact fidelity for the natural harvest, with the Master has stated that the truth of the spiritual harvest, let both grow together until the harvest. He said, and in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in the bundles to burn of them, but gather the wheat into my barn, Matthew 13:30. And these parabolic words, Yeshua has made the spiritual method of the harvesting analogous unto the natural method, where the one not precisely like the other, he would have distinguished the difference. Be admonished, therefore, not to let vain imagining come into the mind, but stand as squarely on the scriptures, for they are full of the meaning of the illimitable advisor, and are indeed your very life. As a word, until, which is a compound preposition, means up until. Okay. This house got here means up to, which is a compound preposition. Also, for the tares are therefore to be gathered out, not before or after the harvest, but at the beginning of the harvest, and the time of the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, being as the end of the probationary time. Okay. Because Yahshua's object lesson, verse 72. Then the harvesting itself necessarily precedes the close of the probation. The fruitless winter season. Consequently, the tares are separated from among the wheat before, not after, the end of the probationary time. Well, Dietrich Hollis could have been more conclusive by saying, consequently, the tares are separated from among the wheat before as well, not after the end of the probationary time. For the wheat, as the children of the kingdom, Matthew 13:38, are gathered into the barn, their kingdom, the tares, the children of the wicked one, verse 38, mirror professes those who are not doers of the word, and who were granted a membership while men slept, are gathered and burned in the fire, Matthew 13:40. After the wheat is bound into the sheaves. But who are the reapers? That's our next question. For the reapers are the angels who shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew 13:39-49. These angels are not those who shall come with Yahshua at his second coming, but rather those whom he shall send forth, for they are like the three angels of the Revelation 14:6-11. Indeed, the third angel is for the selecting of the wheat from the tares, and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. Early writings, page 118. Therefore, the angels, as the reapers whom the Yahshua sends forth, will include both him who does the sealing or binding, and those who follow on to do the destroying, Ezekiel 9:2, 5, and 6. First in the church, first in the Seventh-day Adventist church, and since the judgment began at the Gilead Center Convocation, and Convocation was the third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist church during her fourth movement, according to Matthew 20, there's five movements in Matthew 20 for Israel, from starting with Moses in 1500 B.C. coming out of Egypt, and ending with the fifth group, Matthew 20, verse 6, that's called at the end of the 11th hour. So Brother Johnson brought to a close the Adventist movement that came to an end as a ninth hour call movement of Matthew 20, verse 5. The ninth hour call laborers. Brother Johnson was the last of the ninth hour call laborers to close out the Seventh-day Adventist church in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Okay. Therefore, the angels, as the reaper, whom the Yahshua sends forth, includes both him who does the sealing or binding, and those who follow on to do the destroying, Ezekiel 9:2, 5, and 6, first in the Adventist church, then in the world. Thus is the separation in the two sections. And Gilead Center was in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I was a member of that for 33 and a half years, 1972-2003. That's the reason I say that I was a true Seventh-day Adventist. I was born in the Adventist Church in 1938. So therefore I conclude that I was a true Seventh-day Adventist. I was born into it, and I was there to sign and cry against the abomination that had been done in the Adventist Church at Kermit, Texas, and to bring it to an end by signing and crying against the abomination that had been practiced there. Separation in the two sections. Okay, separation in the two sections is a subtitle. For the command, gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, does not mean to gather his saints from the earth into the heaven. Neither does it mean to destroy the wicked from the earth, for the former are to be gathered not directly into heaven, but first into the barn, into the everlasting kingdom of the heaven that is set up during the days of these kings in the last days, Daniel 2:44-45, by the Yahshua himself having come down from heaven and setting up this everlasting kingdom called the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of David. Okay. So it says, let's read that whole thing again. For the command, gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, does not mean to gather his saints from the earth into the heaven, neither does it mean to destroy the wicked from the earth, for the former are to be gathered not directly into the heaven, but first into the barn, the kingdom on the earth. Okay. So in Daniel 2:44 and 45 it says, and in the days of these kings shall Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed or left to other people. And it says, in the days of these kings, there were 10 toes on that image. And the latter are not to be destroyed immediately in the time of the harvest. First are to be gathered into the bundles and then destroyed, as is the future illustrated in the parable of the net. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, that when it was full, they drew unto the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. Matthew 13:47-48. For the parable also shows the separation of the wicked from among Yahweh's people and the church, the net. This being the first section of the work of the separation and the beginning of the harvest, for the subsequent section follows in the world as the earth is lightened with the glory of the loud cry, angel, and as another voice from the heaven says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. Note that in the first section of the separation, the one in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and in the fourth movement, the wicked are taken away from among the just, whereas in the second, the one in the Babylon, which is in the fifth movement, the just are called from among the wicked. Note that in the first section of the separation, the one in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the wicked are taken away from among the just. Whereas in the second, the one in Babylon, the just are called from among the wicked in the last and fifth movement whereas those that were first sections of the separation, the one in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, during the fourth movement, and the fourth movement of the Adventist Church, I brought it to her end, the wicked are taken away from among the just. So those wicked then would have to be those at Gilead Center. Start with Brother W. Johnson, the ancient man for the house, Ezekiel 9:6. Ancient man for the house. Let's continue. As the field is the world, Matthew 13:38. The parable of the wheat and the tares necessarily comprehends both sections of the harvest. As by the contrast, the net holds in the fish, the converse made by the gospel church. Okay. So what's the gospel church? It's the church of David. I'll call it it's the kingdom of David. The parable of the net, therefore, is limited to the separation and the church. Together they distinguish the relation of the first fruits to the second. Isaiah also was given a view of this twofold harvest. For by the fire and by the sword that he prophesied, will the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahweh, the Father, shall be many. For they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith Yeshua, Isaiah 66:16-17. For the slain of Yeshua in this scripture are those who profess to be in the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant, what they call the gospel of today, the teaching of it, who claim the sanctification and purification. They only claim it, but they cannot prove it because they don't understand how to be covered by the blood of the everlasting covenant. But they have to practice the statutes of the sanctuary and operation restored back to his rightful order, as Sister White prophesied in 1844. She said, the sanctuary is to be restored and put back in its rightful order. But who do so on the merits of their own righteousness? Let's read that again. For the slain of the Yeshua in this scripture are those who profess to be in the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, those that are redeemed and cleansed by Yeshua's blood, who claim sanctification by that act and purification. But who do so on the merits of their own righteousness, not of themselves, not on the merits of the Yeshua's righteousness, for they walk, that is, in their own way, not in the obedience unto the truth, wrapped about with these spurious habiliments of the sanctification and purification. For they pose as the reformers, that all the while indulging in the abomination of the heathen, doing so in the secret behind the one tree, or as the margin says, following in the lead one after another, and the food swine's flesh, the mouth, and the abomination of whatever that may be, wherever these paganistic Christians may be, with the food used respectively only in a certain parts of the world, among the different classes and races with which they are gratifying their appetite shows that the consequent destruction among these self-sanctified and self-purified ones is in the church worldwide. That it was not among the Gentiles who knew not of the truth of the Yahweh and of his great power is clearly shown by the Yahshua's words, "I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish Pool and Lud that draw the bow to Tubal and Avan for the Gentile nations today has called by their ancient names to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles," Isaiah 66:19. Since these escaped ones, as the first fruits, entitled 144,000 servants of the Yahweh, Revelation 7:3, shall bring all of your brethren. The second fruits, the great multitude, Revelation 7:9. For an offering out of all the nations, Isaiah 66:20, first part, this great ingathering necessary, therefore, is the closing work of the gospel, or the good news of the salvation that is published in the Law of Moses and republished in the New Testament, entitled "The Blood of Faith in the Blood of the Everlasting Covenant of the Yahshua," for your salvation to cover all your sins, as the second section of the harvest. And since, furthermore, these escaped ones are to bring all of their brethren unto my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yahshua, and a clean vessel unto the house of the Yahweh, Isaiah 66:20. Last part. The fact is fully evident that the destruction of the wicked results in the purification of the church. The clean vessel is therefore the purified church, composed of the escaped ones as the first fruits, starting with the 144,000, who free from their wicked, the terrorists, shall then, as the servants of our Yahweh, bring in the second fruits as a great multitude which no man can number out of all nations, for the second section of the separation has been completed. Probably a probationary time is closed. Let's do that again. For the second section of the separation has been completed is with the probationary time being closed, whereupon from the wicked will be heard the horrible wail of the doom. The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. It says that this being the dreadful experience of the terrors in Babylon and the second section of the harvest, there must, as a type, be a similar and preceding experience for the terrors and the letters in Seventh Day Adventist Church, and the first section of the harvest with the parallel which shows conclusively that the church is not Babylon, for the reason that the church is figuratively not Babylon is that it is called Jerusalem, Ezekiel 9:4-8. And from among the good therein, the wicked, the tares, are destroyed, taken out by the sixth man with the slaughter weapons, Ezekiel 9:69. And then afterwards, the good, the wheat, are gathered in the barn, while from among the wicked of Babylon, the just, my people, are called out and gathered into the barn. And then the seven angels pour out the seven last plagues, and the remaining wicked are destroyed. Alright, we're going to continue on. Thus, in the first section of the harvest, with the separation taking place in the church, is with the wicked being destroyed by the sixth man with the slaughter weapons before the good are taken out. And in the second section, the separation from among the churches in the Babylon, that's the Gentiles, and the Protestant churches, the wicked are destroyed from the seven angels, or by the seven angels, with the seven last plagues, after good are taken out. There are therefore two separations and two fruits. The former fruit gives the first fruits, the 144,000, who are not defiled with false doctrines of false churches called women. Revelation 14:4. That is, they are those whom the sealing message finds in the church of Yahweh, not in the heathen churches. And the second, gives the second fruit as the great multitude from all nations, some of whom also may be undefiled with the women, the heathen churches. Having unto this point studied the judgment, the harvest, and the light of the testimonies of the prophets and of the parables of the Yahshua, we shall now examine it in the light of the ceremonial service. Okay. Just as the spirit of prophecy declares that the whole system of the types and symbols was a compacted prophecy of the gospel, a presentation in which were bound up the promises of the redemption, just so the plan of the salvation is uncoded and the testimonies of the prophets and in the parables of Yahshua, and also in the types and symbols of the earthly sanctuary. In the addition unto this, the experience of the people in the typical period happened unto them, for we are told, for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come, 1 Corinthians 10:11. So we are logically bound at the very outset for the attending unto the Yahweh's instruction unto the Moses. On the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of the atonement. Make an atonement for you before the Yahshua, or the Yahweh, your Father. For whatsoever soul it be, that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Make an atonement for the children of Israel once a year. Leviticus 23:27-29, 16-34. When one is cut off from among the people on account of sin, then his name must also be blotted out of the book of the living. Psalms 69:28. Consequently, the day of the atonement was the day of the judgment, as it is still commonly called by the Jews, and by that token it was founded as the type of the great antitypical day of the atonement, the investigative of judgment. And the day that the Yahshua will blot from his book the names of all sinners and cut off from the congregation of his people all whose names are not in the book concerning the typical day of the atonement. Yes, Yahweh commands through Moses' words, on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, for the cleansing you, that you may be clean from all of your sins before the Yahweh. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. Leviticus 16:30-33. Being on the day of the atonement in the type for both the dead and the living, this service of the earthly tabernacle therefore projects the day of the atonement and its antitype as the cleansing of the sanctuary in the heaven from the unworthy names in the books, and for the cleansing of the church on the earth from all of its unconverted and all of the unstable members, thus bringing the time of the clean books, our clean church, and clean people. Looking forward unto this day of your purification, Zechariah prophesied, and that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Yahweh, and the pots in the Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea, or Judah, shall be holiness unto the Yahshua of the host. And in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua of the host. That's the son of Yahweh. Zechariah 14:20-21. Envisioning the same scene, the prophet Isaiah declares, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahshua shall name, Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yeshua, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy Yahweh. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Thou shalt be called Hyssopah, the holy people, Isaiah 62:2-4 and verse 12. But ye that forsake the Yeshua, that forget my holy mountain, ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Yahweh your father shall slay thee and call his servants by another name, Isaiah 65:11-15. For the people that doth not understand shall fall, Hosea 4:14. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:10. For those whose vision is clear on the truth of the harvest, has taught in the testimony of the prophets and in the parables, will have a still clearer vision as we study the significance of the wave sheaf, wave loaves, and the feast of the tabernacles for the illustrating of our salvation and the completeness. The harvest rites of the ceremonial system must therefore corroborate both the testimonies of the prophets and the parables concerning the harvest, for all are inextricably bound up together, for the ceremonies of the first and the second fruits of the grain must accordingly unfold the truth concerning the first and second fruits of the humanity. In the Levitical law, we read, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, for the priest shall wave it, and ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your Yahweh, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after 7 Sabbaths shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Yahweh. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of the 2-tenth steel. They shall be of the fine flour. They shall be baked with the leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Yahweh also in the 15th day of the 7th month. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath, Leviticus 23:10-11, 14-17, and verse 39. Here we see commanded the observance of 3 harvest rites. 1, the ceremony of the wave sheaf at the beginning of the first harvest. 2, the ceremony of the wave loaves at the close of the first harvest. 3, the feast of the tabernacles at the close of the second harvest. Being typical, these 2 grain harvests with the 3 literal sacraments accordingly for shadow 2 south harvest, or the 2 soul harvest with the 3 spiritual lights, the first of which is the first fruit with the wave sheet and wave loads. Okay, it says, being of the cut stalks of the ground, the wave sheet signifies fruits to be harvested. And as the sheaf was to be offered before the sickle was put to the grain and gathered into the sheaf, it obviously pointed forward unto a spiritual harvest of the first fruits to be gathered on the Pentecost, 50 days after the typical sheaf was offered. All Israel were to offer a new meat offering unto the Yahweh. 2 wave loaves baking with the leaven, the first fruits unto the Yahweh. Leviticus 23:16-17. Both the wave sheaf and the wave loaves were the thank offering for the first fruits. One was dedicated at the beginning of the harvest, the other at the completion of it, and the contrast unto the wave sheaf of the cut stalks of the grain, prefiguring fruits to be gathered after the sheaf was offered, the wave loaves being a finished product, signified fruits previously gathered. The reader who would best comprehend the significance of these 3 ceremonial celebrations, all important unto our salvation, or for our salvation, will follow the chart on the page 77 as we proceed. For it will be observed that the command regarding of the observance of the seventh day Sabbath, as well as with that of the regarding of the observance of the yearly ceremonial feast, is with the recording in the 23rd chapter of the Leviticus, verse 3, care therefore must be exercised not for the confusing of the one truth with the other, for the wave sheaf was to be offered on the morrow after the Sabbath, that is, on the first day of the week, now commonly called Sunday. This offering was to be presented not on a special day of the month, but rather on a special day of the week before the sickle was put to the grain and gathered into the to the sheaf. Leviticus 23:11-14. Coming just at the right time in the season of the first fruit, the Passover week was the period in which the wave sheaf was usually offered before the Yahshua, with this ritual prophetically projecting of the Yahshua as the antitype of the wave sheaf. For more than 1,000 years, the annual waving of the sheaf by the pointing forward unto its antitypical event with the resurrection of the Yahshua, and as the Yahshua rose on the very day that the wave sheaf is to be offered, the day after the Sabbath, that no one attributes the singular concurrence of these 2 events on that day, unto this mere coincidence or unto any cause other than the divine design. He was the antitype of the wave sheaf, declares the spirit of the prophecy, and his resurrection took place on the very day when the wave sheaf was is to be offered or is to be presented before the Yahshua. Isaiah 7:85. So the Yahshua, as the first fruit, and those who with him at his resurrection came forth from the grave, raised unto the everlasting life, where the antitypical wave sheep of the dead and since the wave sheep of the grain pointed forward unto the end gathering of the first fruits of the field, just so those who arose with the Yahshua, being as the first fruits of the dead, pointed forward unto the end gathering of the gospel's first fruits of the 120 disciples. But as those who arose with Yahshua ascended with him as the trophies of the victory over death and the grave, for they thereby became a living type and thus the wave sheet of the living. Just as Yahshua rose on the very day that the sheep was to be offered, likewise the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120 disciples on the very day that the wave loaves were to be presented before the Yahweh, for the apostolic Pentecost was accordingly as the prototype of the ceremonial Pentecost. The day that the wave loaves were offered, and since the wave sheaf was a figure of the Yahshua and of those who arose with him as the first of the first fruits of the dead, hence the wave loaves were a figure of the 120 spirit-filled disciples who were the full complement of the first fruits of the dead, and who were gathered in after the resurrection. From these facts, it can more clearly be seen that those whom the Yahshua took with him were the living wave sheep, and the only ones that has been offered in the heavenly sanctuary, and that as ones were raised from the dead, they are the first fruits of the dead, whereas as the ones ever living before the Father, they are the living wave sheep of the first fruits of the living, the 144,000 servants of Yahweh, who sequentially precede the second feast and the feast of the tabernacles. This brings in verse 5, this hour, contact this, the 11th hour call, number 11, 6th corner audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.